Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Hello and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and 96.5 TIC. Our guest today is Senator Richard Blumenthal. We're going to be taking some time to discuss the ongoing war and conflict between the United States, Israel, and Iran. It's definitely been quite a week on that particular front. We have plenty to talk about. Senator, welcome back to Face Connecticut. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me, Morgan. Good to be back with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's start with the very beginning here, a summary, as I always like to do, keeping things high level. How have we arrived here at this point where there's now a war with Iran?
Morgan, that is a central question, because a lot of the reasons for our starting this war, make no mistake, we started it along with Israel, involve a supposed imminent threat. But both the imminence and the threat are highly questionable. In fact, the administration has been all over the place in describing it. Secretary of State Rubio said that Israel, in effect, forced our hand because it was going to attack Iran and we would be a target for Iran if that happened. On the other hand, the president said that we forced Israel's hand because we were going to start a preemptive attack on Iran. And Secretary Rubio has said that Iran was building a missile capacity that would be immune, to use his word, from the United States attack in a year or a year and a half. So that hardly seems imminent, a year or a year and a half. But the administration has described its objectives in various contradictory and inconsistent ways, whether it's destroying Iran's nuclear arsenal, which supposedly was obliterated 8 months ago, according to the president, or stopping its missile production, which is a legitimate end, but maybe not for the start of a war, and to halt its terrorizing neighbors and killing its own people. Again, worthwhile objectives, but the question is, was there an imminent threat to the United States that justified this war? So the bottom line answer to your question is that we still have to learn, and the administration has to explain what its strategy is, its objectives, why it has started this war, which is increasingly escalating, now involving many of Israel and Iran's neighbors in the Gulf, and even now more widely, Russia. because it is aiding Iran, and the prospect of an endless or forever war aimed at nation building is exactly what the president said he would never start when he was campaigning for office. Now he seems to have started one. And what the exit strategy is really depends on what the goals are, which, again, remain very confused and chaotic.
Senator, not long after the war began, several days after, there was a post-attack briefing that was given to Congress. I realized that that was closed door. But is there anything that you could tell us about that, even if general?
What I can tell you, which most alarmed me, and alarmed is an understatement, is that we seem to be on a path to putting troops on the ground. The president himself said just earlier this week that he wants to be involved in choosing Iran's next leader. That smacks of regime change and nation building, involvement in Iran's internal governance decisions in a way that inevitably would involve putting American sons and daughters in harm's way. There's no way to do regime change from 30,000 feet through bombing alone. Bombing has never resulted in regime change or nation building. We tried it in Afghanistan and in Iraq, and of course, there was no nation building, and we see the results there. Inevitably, boots on the ground are involved in regime change. And so I left that briefing immensely fearful that we were headed in that direction. And I think that would be really a disaster for the United States. But the president seems to have no reluctance about it because he keeps talking about regime change, and one of the accomplishments so far he seems to be seeing about most is, in fact, destroying the Iran leadership. I am shedding no tears for Ayatollah Khomeini. I think the world is better off without him and others who were killed along with him. The Iran leadership has killed its own people, terrorized the region through proxies like Hamas and Hezbollah. It has set death to America, death to Israel. It is a theocratic monstrosity. But at the same time, the question is what follows it and who determines what is there? And my fear is that we will have to put American troops in harm's way in Iran so as to accomplish that goal that the president has set forth, that he would help choose the leader.
Senator, for years, if not decades, as you have just indicated, there have been many threats lobbed at the West, the United States, Israel, from Iran. At the same time, I'm hearing colleagues and yourself, your colleagues and yourself saying that there was no imminent threat a year, year and a half, or however long. It's not necessarily imminent, as in happening tomorrow. But how do we make the distinction, the classification between threats that we've been hearing since 1979 and what could be an imminent threat? In your eyes, what would that be?
An imminent threat would be Iran having missiles that could reach the United States. It doesn't have them and no immediate prospect of them. An immediate threat would be Iran on the verge of having a nuclear weapon. The president boasted 8 months ago that Iran's nuclear capacity had been obliterated. That's his word. Now, in my view, it never was completely destroyed or obliterated, but its enriched uranium is buried under tons of rubble in its former sites. There's no immediate prospect of a threat to the United States there. There is an immediate threat from Hezbollah and Hamas to Israel, but Israel has largely incapacitated those Iran proxies. And Israel could do it without the United States. There is no imminent threat to the United States. Hard to see what the imminent threat could be. Secretary of State Rubio has said that there would be immunity. Nobody knows what that word means for Iran's ballistic missile production in a year or a year and a half. Well, that length of time is hardly imminent. So, the objectives are really undefined, chaotic, confused. And that's not to say that Iran and its regime are not a threat to the United States, but there are other countries that also pose a threat: China, North Korea, Russia, some of the other terrorist states that have been so-called. The question is whether the threat justifies the vast expenditure of funds, the loss of lives. We've already lost 6 of our brave men and women in uniform. Some of our National Guard are right now in harm's way in the region. I've heard from them, and one of them asked me the other day in a text, what's the vision of success? I'm quoting directly, what is the vision of success, Senator? He's asking the key question. And you can't know what success is without a strategy. So the use of American arms in this way is apparently without clearly defined strategy and objectives. And just to emphasize another important point that emerged from that classified briefing, the administration has no intention of seeking approval from Congress. It seemingly has contempt for Congress. But constitutionally, Congress has to approve wars when they are declared. That's part of the Constitution. And the reason is that the American people should have a say in whether the nation goes to war. It can't be the president unilaterally. That is deeply alarming that the administration has no intention of seeking approval from Congress. So we'll see another War Powers Resolution. We'll see oversight and scrutiny through the power of the purse, our appropriations, or spending powers. And I'm hopeful that Congress will reassert its authority. Republicans need to be held accountable for failing to hold the president responsible morally and legally.
So just to try to sum that up, and for those of you joining me now on Face Connecticut, my guest is Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal, and we're talking about the recent war and tensions involving Iran. The Trump administration began showing its military force in the region near Iran, with the president even saying that if Iran did not reach a deal favorable to the U.S., that there would be some kind of an attack, some kind of military action. But at the same time, while it might not take some people by surprise that he did act, you're arguing that the path to get there was not followed correctly, that Congress did not get a briefing beforehand. The Gang of Eight, I guess, within a day before the attack, learned of it, but that's not good enough, you're saying. You're saying that this had to go before the whole Congress.
I'm not really looking back, Morgan. Not trying to, in effect, indict the war based on a technical procedure. I'm saying right now the president has an obligation to come to Congress. He should have supported the War Powers Resolution that was defeated because Republicans almost unanimously voted against it. He should seek approval from Congress. Maybe he could have done it before the attack because, as you say very correctly, the presence of our troops there and our naval assets in overwhelming strength. There was no secret, 2 aircraft carriers with their destroyers, as well as other significant assets, including alerts to the bases on the ground and the involvement of our Israel partners. He could have done it before, but I'm looking at the situation right now, and he needs to build support among the American people. Right now, this war is deeply unpopular. Americans don't want another forever war. And the risk is clear and present right now that we are engaged in another forever war, a war of choice that could be avoided. But one way or the other, he has the constitutional obligation right now to come to Congress, and it will help him if he does it, and if the facts are on his side, to build support among the American people. I think he's reluctant to come to Congress because he is fearful that Congress would oppose it. and vote it down because it is so deeply unpopular right now. And so the administration seems to be, in effect, test marketing, trying to find a rationale that sticks with the American people, almost like word shopping or workshopping a war in real time. But the tactics may be successful militarily. The bombing may destroy targets.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
But the question is whether the strategy is there and can be achieved. And that's why the test to Congress is so important. The president is urging the Iranian people to go to the streets. Well, they'll be mowed down by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps if they do it. The IRGC has a million people under arms, and it remains intact and in control. So I think the president has been very unclear about what the path forward is, and that's why coming to Congress is so important.
Senator, one of the issues that has also emerged is that there are Americans who are trapped in the region, and for those who want to come home, it has been difficult for them to come home. Just from within our own state, there were two college students who got into the news this past week as being stuck in Dubai. They were able to make it home as of Thursday, but fortunately for them, but there are concerns that other Americans are stuck over there. What's being done to help them?
We're doing everything we can and everything possible to link them with State Department assets and services that can help them return. The State Department is chartering planes and otherwise providing transportation, some of it on the ground, to evacuate our tourists and other civilians who may be trapped over there. But again, Morgan, we come back to the lack of planning. The administration certainly knew about this possibility. There was no planning for evacuating Americans who are trapped there now. Those two students were successful in returning. We helped them. We were in touch with their families, and congressional offices helped them come back, as did the State Department. Anyone who has relatives or friends over there should contact my office. We're trying to aid them in any way we can, but again, the chaos and confusion resulted from lack of planning, and the need to evacuate Americans was certainly foreseeable. So the question is, why wasn't there better planning?
Senator, on another issue here, as a Jewish American yourself, there's been so much support for Israel, but at the same time, in recent years, some of that support has been challenged, I'll say. How do you find yourself among Democrats working to support Israel, but also at the same time try to make sure that processes, as we've talked about the War Powers Resolution and matters related to that, planning for any kind of attack, trying to get Americans home, you know, there's a level of procedure that Democrats are trying to support here, and some might be critical that it's going against Israel and so on and so forth. How do you find yourself in that challenging space?
Well, I consider myself a patriotic American. Two of my sons have served in the military, one as a Marine Corps infantry officer in Afghanistan, the other as a Navy SEAL. I've served as a senator for 15 years, and before that job as Attorney General for the state, as well as United States Attorney. Patriotism in support of the United States doesn't require uncritical support. We can be critical in a constructive way of our government without in any way compromising our love or support of America. In fact, good friends know how to criticize constructively and supportively. That's the way I consider myself with Israel. I have been supportive of our military aid for Israel without conditions over decades. I've been supportive of our intelligence and military cooperation, our economic partnership, as well as technological, our technology relationships. Israel is one of our best allies all around the world, and we are linked by bonds of culture and faith, as well as military and security interests. So I consider myself a strong supporter of Israel. I think my record demonstrates it. And at the same time, I've been critical of some of the policies on the West Bank when Israel was bombing in Gaza. I advocated that it be more targeted, that humanitarian aid be permitted, and said so in a number of the trips that I have made to Israel, bipartisan trips. I think most important, bipartisan support for Israel has to be maintained. And I hope my party, the Democratic Party, will be supportive of Israel.
Senator, we heard in a briefing just this past week that there's more fighting to come against Iran. In fact, it's been said that it could ramp up.
The war is escalating. Losses may well increase. Six brave members of our military have been lost already. Others are at risk as we speak. And the widening war now threatens to involve powers outside the region, like Russia, which is providing intelligence aid, apparently, to Iran and possibly drones and intelligence know-how. So we need to be prepared that there is this threat of a wider forever war. And that's why I'm going to continue to insist that the president be held accountable, that he come to Congress, because the American people should have a say. And I am deeply fearful that this wider war will have consequences and costs that are unforeseen, just as many of the consequences happening right now in real time seemingly were unforeseen by the administration.
Senator, last question. I know you have to run. What does the exit ramp look like in this particular war and scenario?
There were negotiations ongoing between America and Iran, albeit through Oman. They were indirect, but both sides were talking about how they were continuing. In fact, another meeting was scheduled for the week of the beginning of the war. And maybe it was a ruse designed to mislead the Iranian leadership. Maybe the administration had no intention of participating in those talks, but there were negotiations ongoing. And I think a return to the table is probably one of the off ramps here. And then the de-escalation of the war. The United States now has complete control of the airspace, according to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. It has the ability to bomb at will. But the administration had complete control of the Afghanistan airspace. And the consequences there were pretty unpalatable in losses to the United States and eventually our withdrawal, which I criticized at the time. The way of the United States withdrew, I was very critical of. Not the fact of the withdrawal, but the way we withdrew in loss of life to our troops and to Afghans. And so I'm hoping that the de-escalation is a possibility and that there will be, in fact, a different regime with a different set of priorities, namely improving Iran's economy and its society, not threatening nations in the region like Israel, not supporting terrorist proxies, not building a nuclear arsenal, not constructing more missiles. I hope that there will be different leadership, even if it's just within this regime, without a complete change in regime. And that is, at the moment, a hope, but it's not an immediate prospect. And I'm at a loss to know precisely how and which off-ramp there will be, but I hope that peace can be achieved.
Senator Blumenthal, I really appreciate your time on Face Connecticut. I'm sure we'll talk again before too long.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Morgan.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, "What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels?" Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.